'70s and '80s. It's very good audience because everyone's out doing stuff. So cold days are nice. It's cozy, right? It brings more coziness. So this is a really wonderful day today. For the past 5 years, I would come back either from California or somewhere where Mara was traveling in the States, and I would get back and say, I spoke with Mara, and he said he would try this here. And he said to me once, just keep ambushing me. So I took that as an order, although I feel embarrassed every time I call him. Fortunately, because I know he's an incredibly busy schedule. Saw the title of the flyer, Principles of a Spiritual Community, a certain phrase came to my mind that Prabhupada actually stated to one disciple in the 70s. He used this term, wedding milk, in the sense that the devotees were going out in an incredible outreach, thousands of books were going out, so many people were coming and taking to Krishna consciousness. But then he emphasized, boiling the milk in that, make the thumb, the sangha, the Sangha thicker, where devotees are getting training, experiencing the culture, developing a spirit of cooperation, carrying out the mission and vision of Srila Prabhupada. We're very fortunate today to have His Holiness Ramaswamy, who's personification of this principle of boiling the milk. And for those who drink the chocolate here, Puma or Eco Village, there are numerous communities now around the world where His influence is, they can experience this principle. So, a warm and enthusiastic appreciation. Let's welcome our Holiness Ramaswamy Maharaj.
Krishna, Yeah. Amen. collection bureau. So one time, I was on a Sunday morning coming back to Mumbai from a town called Belgaum, which is on the border of Maharashtra and Karnataka. And while I was flying, this tiny little plane, it's about 20 seats. And the person who had all the back seats so we could lay down, carried my bags, they wouldn't hear from me. So as far as community, in this age of Kali Yuga, Vishnu Bhagavatam declares that Kaneru Dosani Dehachan Asti Ekamam. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults. It's a time where people are so programmed by their karmas and by the environment for quarrel and hypocrisy. People become very spiritually weak. And when you become spiritually weak, several things happen. And these are actually the signs of spiritual weakness. Sometimes we like to just take the external things and see them as signs. How nice a person can sing. Or how many verses one can speak and memorize. Or how little one can eat. Or how little one can sleep. How one can mesmerize people by their talking. These could very much be spiritual empowerment. But only if they're built on foundation of the ability to rise above the ahankar, the ego, and tolerate provoking situations. In fact, Srila Prabhupada writes this. It's in the Krishna book. He said the greatness of a person has to be estimated by how that person is able to tolerate provoking situations. When it's a nice sunny day, emotionally, and everybody is cooperating nicely, and everyone's appreciating you, and things happen to be going your way, and you're really getting good results in whatever you do, it's easy to be saintly. But when there's provocations, when there's all sorts of complications and difficulties, when we tolerate those impulses to react, based on the higher principle, that's actual greatness. And what is the highest principle? It's becoming very dramatic. Some severe loving push. Whatever our position in the world, whether we're mothers or fathers or swamis, whether we're teachers or yoga teachers, or whether we're doctors or lawyers or farmers or business or politics, whatever we need. Attractions and aversions of life, the pitfalls, to that grace. Will you please, Krishna? When we make that the center of our lives, then we can actually see the bigger picture. Because this is how we get trapped in this age of coming. Little and apparently big things derail us from our real purpose in life. Or in other words, we are bombarded by weapons of mass distraction. And today, because people are so bored with the way they, with their own inner selves, they have to produce endless distractions just to somehow keep busy. I was speaking last night. Not long ago, I was at a house where there was really wealthy people. But because the mother and father were so much out trying to make money, more money, millions and tens of millions, to keep the child happy, they were buying every type of high-tech game and low-tech games and every kind of game. But they were never satisfied with any of those games. Play it for a while and then want something else and want something else and want something else. Why? Because the heart was crying for what every heart cries for. To love and be loved. We want someone to love. We want to be loved by someone. The origin of that principle is our natural love for God, which is inherent within us. Yesterday, at Linda Sundari Devi and Krishna Krishna Guru's house, I saw the little son of Hindi Thai. He was totally Bhaktivedanta Manor, which was really called us European headquarters, had a wonderful event. You see that? Bhaktivedanta Manor was donated by George Harrison of the Beatles. Chansuna Prabhu, who I was just with the day before yesterday, we met together in Los Angeles. He became really good friends with George. He was living in his house. And when George met Srila Prabhupada, he was so transformed, so moved. In fact, he wanted to, at one point, he wanted to give up all of his business and music and just join the temple. And Prabhupada said, you can serve Krishna better by remaining as a musician. With the beautiful gifts that Krishna has given you in the form of your fame and your artistic skills, try to raise people's consciousness. Really, the spirit stayed up. And he did it. And wonderful things happened. So George, the last years of his life, he was really absorbed in gardening. As a spiritual practice, he would chant God's name for several hours every morning and then go to his family and go out to the garden. So in honor of George Harrison donating his property, Bhaktivedanta Manor, because he helped to get the place in downtown London very place, but it became very overcrowded. It just to make Prabhupada and the devotees happy, he arranged to buy this huge property, big old house's iron. And said that the key to good gardening, the real key, is love. You have to see your plants as people. You have to love Mother Earth. You have to love Mother Earth's children in the form of humanity and other living beings. And you have to love Mother Earth's people in the form of the vegetables and fruits that you're growing, the herbs. These are miracles. To love the miracle of God's grace. Sometimes people like to look for cheap things. Can you show me a miracle? I've seen people who can do all kinds of supernatural feats. But after you see them for a while, they don't impress you. What impresses is someone who's really compassionate and humble, and who really wants to serve with love, and who's really intoxicated with God's love. That's impressive. But if you look at a tree, he said, don't be fooled to think that this is anything spiritual I'm doing. This is just knowing how to do it. Knowing how to manipulate gross matter on a subtle platform of the mind. You know how to control your mind in a certain way. You know how to control the subtle elements and manipulate gross elements. Thousands of mosquitoes growing like this.
beach. And there's no air traffic controllers. But they just know how to fly. And they fly so gracefully. And when they land on you, drink your blood. Nobody taught them how to do that. They just know exactly what to do and where to get it. It's a miracle. The sun rising. How big is the sun? How is it rising? The earth gets a little too close. It burns because a little too far it freezes. For millions and millions and millions of years, the balance is in order. So there's miracles everywhere. To appreciate those miracles, to appreciate God's because they help us to understand the necessity of building our relationships on higher principle than just what I expect and what I like. And for a community to be strong, all the individual relationships require. It's not that you just, the community is good. Community means all, every single member of the community in their own relationships with each other, one-on-one, need to connect on a higher level. And when everybody agrees on that principle, and lives on that principle, then you have a really vibrant spiritual community, which nourishes. Husband. Krishna conscious grihastha, to have a partner and be Krishna conscious in it, is actually the path back to spiritual perfection. We learn to put higher principles than what I expect. And friendship. So many times, friendship, we're always changing our friends. When we have that ego in our own lives and in our relationships, then it grows, it expands to nationalism, and racism, and religious conflict. It's all just the same thing. We're trying to put ourselves in the center. Means putting God in the center. What pleases Krishna, that becomes the center. And I take myself out of the center in order to put Krishna in the center. And what pleases Krishna? Amanina Manadena. To actually give honor and respect to Krishna's center. Learn to appreciate the good that people are doing. To learn to encourage. There was a American philosopher. His name was James. And he wrote in one of his books that the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. To love means to appreciate. We all want that appreciation because all we all want to be loved. Give that appreciation is actually more fulfilling than receiving. Because we don't have too much control over how people appreciate us. But we have a lot of control over how we appreciate others. So to learn for that higher principle to appreciate each other and to try to really be an example in the way we interact, and in the values we keep, and in our own spiritual principles that we follow. When we're all trying to serve and inspire, it creates a beautiful community. One time, His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu and I were walking through a redwood forest. We came upon a group. Forest ranger, he was speaking to them. We were walking by. We were kind of speeding up because we wanted to get away from the tourists. You know, we do this every year. Go into these forests with these gigantic, beautiful redwood trees. We go into quiet areas. We give our hearts to each other. We meditate, pray, share our thoughts. As we're speeding up, going by the tourists, the forest ranger said, "I am going to explain the underground secret of the redwood forest." And I said to Vaisheshika, "I like underground secrets." The teenager in the 1960s, he liked underground things, especially secrets. These redwood trees have been growing. He said that some of these trees are 1 to 2,000. don't grow so deep. At the same time, over the thousands of years that they've been growing and growing and growing, there has been massive earthquakes, storms, blizzards, hilly ground, loose soil. How do they keep growing? There's been blazing forest fires, hundreds of forest fires. But they just keep growing.
The roots of the refuge tree, they grow underground, outward, reaching for the roots of other trees. And when the roots of two different refuge trees meet, they wrap around each other, intertwining and interpermeating. In this way, all the roots on all sides of all the trees are interconnected with all the other trees. Directly or indirectly, every tree in that whole forest is holding up every other tree. Even little babies. Strength from each other. They're giving and receiving because they actually care about each other. It's their nature. Friendship are making allies with each other. It's not enough. It actually has to come from the heart. In other words, we really have to care about each other. We really have to make sacrifices for each other. In giving, we receive. That's the principle of spiritual. Trees connect with each other, every tree has the strength of every other tree. Srila Prabhupada gave the same principle. He quoted it from Aesop's fables. That if you take hundreds of twigs and wrap them up together with a rope, the unity is so strong that you cannot break. Each one out separately, they're easily broken. Unity is strength. From the redwood trees, the roots of our heart's genuine concern and care for each other. That is the higher principle. That's what will please Krishna or God. When we live by that higher principle, we're here for each other. We're faithful to each other. We're willing to forgive each other. Because everyone makes mistakes. And everyone disappoints us. And it's usually because of weakness. And we're going to need strength. We're going to need help when we're weak. We need to give help when other people are weak. That's community. Where everyone is there for each other to help each other to become strong. Our Guru and Srila Prabhupada named this movement the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Interesting name. Society means together. A all different people of all different backgrounds, of all different races, of all different religious backgrounds, of all different economic levels. These are all details. We're all here for each other. I often cite one incident in India that really moved me. Because earlier this happened in the 80s. And usually, a person who's very powerful and wealthy, who has a driver in the car, the driver just takes orders. You rarely see much intimacy there. But there was this person, one of the most well-known, successful business industrial leaders, who was a devotee. And there was a kirtan in the temple world. And his driver was in the temple room. And the two of them, and this devotee who was from a wealthy background, he took the driver's hands and started dancing with him in front of everybody. They were dancing, they were embracing, they were crying in joy to be together, singing Krishna's names. There was no sense that I'm high and you're low. There's no sense that I'm wealthy and you're not wealthy, that I'm from a high caste and you're from a low caste. We could see it was so genuine. Their hearts were completely one in the spirit that we're Krishna brothers in Krishna. And they danced so beautifully together. And this was so impossible to see in India at that time. There was about 300-400 people in the temple. Everyone was crying. Because it wasn't a show. It was genuine. It wasn't, "You're my master, you're my servant, we're brothers." They're both thinking, "I'm your servant." When we extend ourselves with that principle, that society of Krishna consciousness. Society for Krishna consciousness means when community, small communities and large communities, when they're united in putting Krishna, the all-attractive, all-loving, or God, as the center purpose of our relationships with each other. And then when the trials and the tribulations and when the ego gets inflamed, "I don't like what this person," I need to tell you an example. Personal example. You have your permission. Yeah. Into a community after I was in India for some years. And I was given a service. The person that I was supposed to work under was everything I didn't like about a person. Besides the fact that he was a devotee of Krishna. The way he ate, the way he walked, the way he talked, the way he treated people, his background, everything about him was, I remember thinking, if I was just in a regular old society, this is the kind of person I would never have anything to do. It just makes me sick. But you want to know something? That's exactly the way he felt about me. Just very different nature, very different person, very different background. So we had everything to fight about.
service for the sake of pleasing God. And Krishna, we have to come to a higher level. We have to put all our differences aside and unite on the one higher principle that we actually agree with. And we did that. And it wasn't easy. In fact, it was really difficult. But after some time, we became best friends. We were like those redwood trees. Our roots were so deeply connected. We were there for each other, thick or thin. We were willing to live or die for each other with love. We were lifelong best friends. We were so proud of anything the other did that was good. We were just so proud of it and so appreciative and so happy for each other's for whatever blessings that the other was receiving, from the other's success. It was a transformation. And he passed away a few years ago. But we had about 30 years of very, very deep friendship. It works. The more there's tests, and challenges, the more it actually gives us an awakening that there's a higher principle. There's a necessity for a higher principle. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam it describes, of all the ages, Kali Yuga is worshipped by the great enlightened sages. Why the lowest age, where there's the most oral hypocrisy and immorality, is considered the most worshipable time of human history? For two reasons. Primarily. One is, in this age, because we have so little qualifications spiritually, if we simply kirtana eva krishna mukta sangha, even though Kali Yuga is ocean of faults, there's one blessing that anybody who sincerely takes shelter of the names of Krishna will attain the supreme perfection of liberation. That's one reason. The highest liberation is given in such a simple form. And the second is because there is so much world and hypocrisy, and there is so much reason to fight, it gives people a real sense of necessity to take shelter of that higher principle. If we take it seriously. And more than anything else in the world today, people are really craving for loving community. They are based on a higher principle than our likes, dislikes, expectations, and egos. The principle of bhakti is that that community is based on our love for God, on our willingness to see every being in our community, every living being in creation as a child of God. And to enjoy more than anything else the opportunity to appreciate, to encourage, and to serve. Not the need to take, get. Ananda Mukti Bhakti. Real happiness is when we just put this higher principle of love of Krishna in the center.
Would you like to chat? Hare Krishna!
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Prabhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh. Thank you. Krishna,
together, let us sing.
Holy Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
There's some guests that came from the program last night, from the yoga studio.
Thank you.